100 Word Stories.
Hi there, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. It's Sunday, time for the weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with a story. The topic was flap, whole bunch of stories on flap. Amazing how that happens. Okay, you've heard this over and over and over again. Let's just get right to it. Here's the first story.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 568 on the topic of flap. Sure seems that grunge has been going around. I had it a couple days ago, and just recovering from that. As best I can tell, Richard gave it to Lawrence, who gave it to Norval Joe, who gave it to Liana, who gave it to me. So I'm taking suggestions right now for who to give it to next. Just let me know. Anyway, my story this week is called One Saturday Morning at the Waffle House. The waitress came over to the new customer, who had seated himself at the counter. "Coffee?" she asked, motioning to the carafe in her hand. He nodded. She retrieved her order pad. "What can I get you?" "Just a stack of flapjacks." "Right, one order of pancakes, coming up." "No, not pancakes, flapjacks." "It's the same thing, sir. We call them pancakes here. Just look at the menu." "It's not the same thing at all." He sighed. "Fine. Then some hotcakes." "Those are pancakes, too." "Where did the cook learn his trade? Hotcakes and flapjacks are not pancakes." "If you insist, though, fine. I'll take some griddle cakes." The waitress wrote pancakes on her pad. "Very well, sir. One order of griddle cakes, coming right up." And that's it from me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard. I say good morning, but it's currently early evening. But I'm guessing that when you hear this somewhere in the world, it will be morning. So, good morning it is. Some stories this week. You know what the topic is because I've forgotten it. Here we go. This one's called Stationery. I miss the old-fashioned way. Take stationery, for example. Nobody writes letters anymore. I miss notepaper and proper pens. And because nobody writes letters, nobody posts anything anymore. The simple satisfaction of writing a letter, folding the paper with a crisp, sharp crease before neatly sealing it away in an envelope is a rare pleasure. Although even that has lost its charm, since self-sealing envelopes and self-adhesive stamps. I miss the taste of the gum on envelopes. Although, to be honest, I don't miss the horrifying pain of slicing my tongue on a razor-sharp paper flap. Here's another one for you. It's called Unflappable. They called him Unflappable. No matter what the circumstances or how big the challenge, he approached everything with the same cool, calm demeanor. Nothing bothered him. He never grew angry, lost control, or showed any hint of being out of control. Challenges were simply water off a duck's back. So we were intrigued to see how well he measured up to this, the greatest challenge he'd yet faced in his life. Rather badly. He plummeted towards the ground, landing with a sickening thud and an explosion of feathers. If there's one thing a bird must learn, it is to flap. And my last one, cat flap. The local newspaper says cat flap break-ins are on the increase, presumably committed by cat burglars. I thought I'd give it a try, so after my neighbour left for work, I reached through his cat flap, easily removing his keys from the lock. Unfortunately, he had nothing worth stealing, so I made do with a cup of tea, and a sandwich with some ham I found in his fridge. I carefully left in the manner I'd arrived, only to find I myself had been burgled. I don't have a cat flap. I'd stupidly left my front door wide open. And there you go. Some stories on whatever that topic was. So until next week, I bid you all good evening, afternoon, morning. Bye.
He caused a major flap when he spoke to the science club. We always allowed 10 minutes for announcements prior to our meeting. He told them that he dreamed that the use of electronic devices could be used to solve complicated mathematical and logic problems. It was not by the use of logic, binary math, or the manipulation of any kind of quantities, it was by the observation of the look of the device following the full run or random run of the device. What lights were on, what was activated. The club members had little or no creative intelligence.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. The tent flap suddenly flew open, and any vague hope of privacy vanished in a split second. "What are you doing?" Mrs. Hamilton's raspy voice echoed through the valley. "Nothing." Romeo tried to conceal the true reason of his embarrassment by pulling the sleeping bag over his lap. The camp monitor was relentless and drilled him with questions. When she left, her doubts not totally set aside, Romeo smiled. That was a close call. The short alien nodded and grinned. "Good thing we don't have these small houses back home. We just become invisible." "What? Why didn't you say so?" And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Modern technology had made stalking so much simpler, I thought, as I glued back the small flap of skin. The transponder I'd embedded in her flesh would keep me updated on her GPS coordinates, intercept her phone calls and texts, and it was even capable of recording and transmitting sound. Once she awoke from the vodka-administered narcotic, she'd be none the wiser. Just a little confused as to how she'd come to be in this back alley. And I would be long gone, but far closer than she could ever imagine. Job done. I disappeared into the shadows.
Spider by John DeCleese. The trapdoor spider is misnamed. Anyone can see that. Lie down on your belly and watch. Along comes a tasty bug, minding its own business, bothering nobody, looking for whatever tasty bugs look for. Suddenly a section of flat earth flips up. The spider grabs the tasty bug, drags it underground before it can even scream, and the scene is as flat as before. If you've ever been hanged, you know that a trap door drops out from under you. It does not lift up so that you can be grabbed. They ought to call it a flap door spider.
Hello, night people. Tom here. My story this evening is called Baby, It's Cold Outside. The wind was whipping about the tent, Someone had not secured the flap. The Arctic breeze was having its way with Desmond. He wasn't about to get out of his nice warm sleeping bag. Better to curse the cold than freeze one's ass off. Barney, can you get that? Barney looked at him as if he had asked him to crawl on his chest through broken glass. He tried Fred next, but he didn't even get acknowledgement. He didn't even attempt to enlist Bruce. They found them after the spring thaw, well-preserved, the flap waving in the wind. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Tura Brazoino here, and for this week's story on the theme, Flap, I have an English translation of an imaginary fragment of an Anglo-Saxon poem in heroic alliterative verse that might have been the inspiration for Hitchcock's film, The Birds. It's called The Hrefnas, The Ravens. The ravens arrive thundering in thick throngs, their wings furiously flap as they flock, mobbing the traveller, mocking with malign calls. Rock, rock, they cry, the ravening ravens. A faint heart is fearful of the foul birds. A weak-headed wight fares poorly against wise foes. The strong man stays his course, striving ever onwards. Doughty are his deeds in the dark of their wings. With his stout staff he lays about to strike, nor without wounds does he wager to win. Surely he shatters the bird's swift bodies. Thus must a man make merry with death, turning always towards it.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 568 with a prompt of flap. Well, I got my recording room set up again, so I can now start doing the podcasting again, instead of dumping it onto my poor, ignorant computer. Anyway, here's my story. He found the envelope on the desk in his workstation. It was good that he'd come in early. He wouldn't have to explain to his co-workers who Yorick was and why he was opening this letter addressed to whoever he was. The fact that the name read Yorick was evidence that the letter wasn't left by any of the 1,000 people who worked in the office building. He turned it over. The flap wasn't glued, only tucked in. Inside, the car read, "Alas, poor Yorick. I'll miss you." Benny looked around the room. All the cubicles were as silent as death. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
The butterfly effect states that when a butterfly flaps its wings in China, it can start a chain of events that lead to a deadly hurricane in Florida or some other absurd consequence. What really happens is that when a butterfly flaps its wings in China, a nearby cat notices the butterfly, and the cat chases the butterfly around. Sometimes the cat catches the butterfly. Other times, the cat merely watches the butterfly flap around. Whatever the outcome, it certainly isn't a hurricane in Florida, or a flaming gateway to hell. That's there because you never cleaned your room, Johnny.
There you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of flap. I hope you enjoyed it. The next topic is dry, so I will see you in 7 days. If you didn't send in a story, that's okay. As always, next week. Give it a try. Oh, I'm so afraid. My voice sounds so... Come on. Look for all the info at oneadayuntiltheidaidie.com. I will see y'all tomorrow with another daily story, and then another, and then another. God, I'm sick of George the Pirate stories, aren't you? I keep writing them. Oh well. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.